Two dilemmas that people face today. One is the anger of man, correct? Another one that a lot of people face is just a bad marriage, married to an unbeliever. So we see some of that, we see both of that, both types of bad influences, dilemmas in this story. So let's ask the Lord to help us today. Father, we are thankful for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that it is your purpose to teach us truth, to conform us to your Son, to show us the path of wisdom and righteousness, to walk in fellowship with us, Lord, and to be in a blessing on an earth where so many are rebellious and going their own way. Help us, Lord, to know the truth today, to live it, to love you, to demonstrate that we belong to you. May our influence touch many, many, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the human dilemma, and, you know, I don't know what I did, but I just flipped it. So be patient with me here. There we go. A life well lived, and a key verse for being a difference maker is this: let your light so shine before men. Where do you get your light? What comes from the Lord, doesn't it? His word and the Lord within you, in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Is it focused on you? No, it's focused. Well, they see it in you, but it's pointing to something else, to the Lord. And they would glorify your Father who is in heaven. And the influence of a Christian, you know, who can measure that in terms of leadership? And that's what we want, a positive influence. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote of her daughter Kate. She said, "She never found fault with you, never implied you're wrong by her right, yet men at her side grew nobler, girls purer, as though the whole town, the children were gladder that pulled her gown. The weak, the gentle, the rabbled, and rude, she took as she found them and did them all good." Well, what were those things? Well, I think as you read this little poem, she majored on praising instead of fault-finding. She certainly was humble, and she demonstrated acceptance and kind and being cheerful, ministering to the needs of other people. Is that a way to have influence? Indeed it is. That'll do it. What would my influence be at the end of it? You know, people want to live lives of significance. What will make a difference? If I die today, how would I be remembered? What would be the tenor of my life? And that's a good question. One, we want to live for his glory. We want to influence others for good. We want to bring light to a world that's walking in darkness. Amen? We have the light within. Well, Samuel had a funeral, and he was a man of influence. Certainly, he was a mentor, a counselor, an encourager, a source of encouragement, a teacher, a role model for a role model. And he had strong faith, obedient to the Word of God. We have a little boy, young couple in our meeting, had their first baby, and they prayed over what they should name that little one. And they named that little one Samuel, heard of God. That's what it means, heard of God, mighty man in the scriptures. So little Samuel, right now he's a little noisy. He runs all over the chapel, but I think someday he's got a good godly mama and a good godly daddy, and he will be God's man. King David was all of that. The children, all of Israel, mourned and remembered Samuel. As a child, Samuel grew up and was given to Jehovah. And I would say that's a good thing to do with your children. Give them to the Lord. They were given by the Lord. Give them back to the Lord. Say, Lord, do your work in their lives. As a judge or as a ruler, while the children, let's just think about that. And we would want every little one to know God's word. And I thought of Erica working with the little ones the other day. And she had them singing and they were waving flags. And that was just beautiful. Help them to memorize scripture. Model both in your walk and your talk what it is to honor God. And so, do children learn a lot by your modeling? Oh, absolutely. They see the Lord in your life. And that's something to follow. Teach them to pray. You know, Samuel was a man of prayer. In fact, this is what it says of him. And it's challenges me. 1 Samuel 12:23, it says, Samuel said, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I would teach you the good and the right way." You ever felt that if I stop praying for people the Lord has brought in my life, that I'd be sinning against the Lord? And, that's a remarkable thing. F.B. Meyer said it this way, is that it is yet to be seen and probably will never be known until the veil of eternity is lifted, whether our world had benefited most by our prayers or by our labor. You know, the Lord loves to give gifts as we pray and bring it before the Lord. And he's there. There is a throne of grace. He listened. I'm sure David didn't attend Samuel's funeral, even though he loved Samuel. Otherwise, he might have died on the spot. So he didn't come to the funeral. But he might have thought this from Psalms 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful man disappears from among the sons of men. And that's true. You know, as we see believers go to be with the Lord, we often feel that. And I would pray, Lord, raise up others. Raise up other young men to take the place. David probably felt overwhelmed and deeply discouraged because he'd lost a godly friend who gave him counsel. And he was not there anymore. Lessons for life. I think we want to be a difference maker. We want to help somebody else to know God better. We want to pray for them, ask for their needs. Be a friend, go talk to them. And people are dying today for friendship. Just get next to another believer, be a friend. Ask to read the Bible together. And just, both of you, submit yourself to what the Lord says. That's a lesson for life, a difference maker, a friend. Well, I want to read from verse 2, and I brought my New International Version. I hope that doesn't offend anybody, but I just thought it read better. So I'm going to read from verse 2 through verse 18 of 1 Samuel 25. A certain man in Maon who had property there at Carmel, that was not Mount Carmel, it was a place in south of Jerusalem in the desert, was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats, 3,000 sheep. While he was shearing in Carmel, his name was Nabal. His wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent, beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite. And what a description of the man she married. And probably he paid for her, bought her. I don't know. While Dave was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So that was festival time. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, "Go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, 'Long live life to you, good health to you and your household, good health to all that is yours.'" Verse 7. "Now I've heard that at sheep shearing time, when your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them, and the whole time there at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your old servants, and they will tell you, 'Therefore, be favorable towards my men, since we come at festival time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them.'" When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered David's servant, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and my water and the meat that I've slaughtered from my shearers and give it to a man coming from who knows where?" David turned back around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. David said to his men, "Each of you strap on your sword." So they did, and David strapped his on as well. 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults." And that's probably screaming and yelling at him. That's what the word means, at them. "Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us. And the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us the whole time we were herding our sheep and near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, "Go ahead, I'll follow you, but do not tell her." She did not tell her husband Nabal. Well, he was a fool, and he was acting like a fool. Nabal was a very rich man. You know, the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. I'm not answerable to anyone. I'm my own God." Nabal was prideful, harsh, coarse, bad language, evil, cruel, not honest. He abused his place and position and his wealth. And his workers called him worthless. You know, one thing that every man is respect. They want respect, and he didn't have respect of his wife nor of his workers. David's request was sent by a delegation of 10 men. And they were courteous, good-mannered, gracious. They were honorable, honest, respectable, upright, and decent. They were humble. They just told him what they were doing. And if he had any sense, he would have known what was going on out there. And he didn't suffer loss because David's men were a wall for him. And there are some men who lead others, and they're completely unaware of what's happening in their world. They're completely unaware of what's taking place. Nabal's men knew that David had been the one who'd provided their constant protection. I think of the Lord that way, don't you? The Lord is a great provider. The Lord protects people. The Lord gives and gives. You know, people think about Jesus and they want to spit in his face, and they use his name in vain. They don't respond appropriately that God is good. He's there for them. He showed only scorn. Who's David? Who's the son of Jabin? "I will not give you my bread." Isn't that sad? It's not his bread. Who gave him the bread? Everything we have is a gift from the Lord. So his thinking was distorted. "Your David is unknown." That simply means he understood. He didn't understand the times. He didn't know that he was already anointed by Samuel to be the king. And Saul was on his way out. He would give nothing. Aren't you thankful the Lord gives? You read Psalm 73. It distresses some Christians that in David's time as well. Why are the wicked prospering? He didn't understand that. You know what the key was? Until they went into the sanctuary, and then they considered their end. Rich or poor, they've got a destiny. They're going someplace. Shearing time was festival. Traditionally, a time of great hospitality. My son has been in the desert with Bedouins, and they have sheep. They love to show hospitality. "Come on into our tent, drink some tea, have some goat." He doesn't drink the goat milk. "But have some goat milk, sit down with us, we'll have some bread together." And once you go into their tent and have hospitality, they view you as a friend for life. They're there. It's such a wonderful thing to show hospitality and be kind to others. Think of the sin in our world today of living independent of God, taking all of his blessings and resources and having no thanks in their heart, just going on like God doesn't exist. No gratitude for him. That's what Nabal was doing. David gave protection. He wanted nothing to do with the one who was protecting him. Certainly, there were those in our Lord's day that rejected him with scorn and ridicule and mocked him. He created them. He provided for them. And one day he'll be their judge. But he came now to be their savior, and they've turned their back on him. If you were God, what would you do with people like that? Well, I'd just wipe them out, wouldn't you? Aren't you glad that the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish? Saul said that. The Lord is a God of patience. David's response, he said, it's time, put on your sword. It's time to go have a little house call with this guy. Put on his sword and 400 of his men. It was revenge time. He was angry. Aren't you glad for the New Testament where it says in James chapter 1, the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Now you can have righteous anger, but a lot of man's anger doesn't work the righteousness of God. And it's good to ask the question the Lord asked Cain long ago. Is it right for you to be angry? Well, no. I'm living before you, and I'm accepting what you're giving. Interestingly enough, David's life mostly was guided by spiritual principles. He was standing right over Saul with a spear. It could have pinned him to the ground. But he said, I will not kill the Lord's anointed. And he went another way. Why the change in David's attitude? I think he was just enraged because of the humiliation that Nabal brought to his men. But here's what the word says in Romans 12. Never take your own revenge. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You shouldn't pray, Lord, I hope that mechanic throws sand in his gas tank. You know, don't pray that kind of prayer. You just leave it to the Lord. Things are going to wear out anyway. Unless he has a John Mark, it probably won't be running for a while. It just won't do it. When you repay evil for evil, does that make you feel good? Does that put you in God's light? You know, that's God's work, isn't it? You wouldn't know how to do that. What will last for eternity? Well, you know, it's good when you're going downhill with your thinking if a friend comes into your life. David didn't know about this friend, but he had a friend that came into his life, and Abigail was that friend. Abigail's character. She was informed of her husband's reaction to David, so she took the initiative. Don't you appreciate women who take initiative, show leadership? Abigail means joy of the father. Isn't that a great name? Joy of the father. Lots of fathers that love their daughters. Here was a wise, beautiful, strong woman, capable, sensible, a good listener, a good manager. Most of all, she was a spiritual woman. She was seeing it from God's perspective. You know, tough times come, undoubtedly. But it's an opportunity to demonstrate character and godliness, isn't it? It's always appropriate to do what's right. It's what we teach our kids. Do what's right. You never need to be ashamed. Do what you can do, no matter how small. Change your perspective. God has your plan. God has a plan. Get aligned with his plan. Get aligned with his plan. She handled disappointments. She didn't respect her husband, but she was doing the right thing. What are the lessons? Life is difficult. Would you say that? My life has been difficult. I've had some difficult times in my life. It's been hard. But those opportunities, a lot of those times, I had a superintendent one time that asked me to lie for him. And I said, I'm not going to do that. That's a good way to get fired. I said, I'm not going to do that. But I will, I know that he wanted this teacher, this substitute, he didn't want to hire her because she was just so mouthy. He didn't want her in the district. And they were influencing people very wealthy. I said, you know, more importantly, I don't think she matches the team of teachers that are working in that area. But I will not lie for you, say that she's an ineffective teacher. Well, he told me that either one of us are going to be gone at this end of the year. Well, went home and said, I hope we have some bread in the cupboard, dear. It's not good. When you can do good, do it, no matter how small. You know, basically, I believe God has a plan, and you will live by his standards and no other. David perhaps felt his work for Nabal was in vain. He wanted to kill all the males of Nabal's household. And notice we don't read anything in the scripture that he consulted the Lord. It doesn't say anything about that. Psalms 19 and verse 13 is a good one for all of us to know. Keep back your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Don't let them control me. That's a good one. Then I will be blameless and I shall be acquitted from great transgressions. There are lots of things we just have to leave in the Lord's hand. Say, Lord, take care of this. The meeting of David and Abigail. Let me just read a little bit of this from, and she came, verse 20, and she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, and there was David and his men descending towards her. And she met them. David had just said, it's been useless all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness, so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David. Be it ever so severely, by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey, bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man Nabal. He's just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my lord sent. And now, my lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives, and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my lord be like Nabal. And let this gift which your servant has brought to my lord be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord because you fight the Lord's battles, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of the Lord will be bound up securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he has promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or having avenged himself. When the Lord your God has brought my Lord success, remember your servant. Now, does that sound like a wise woman? Yeah, and she was talking. And she humbled herself before David. She was humble. She was courteous. She was spiritual. She accepted blame. And she helped David focus on the man he was dealing with. Follies in him. And I think she also helped David see the bigger issue. Think of your future and your children. Fight the Lord's battles. Isn't that good? These little things that upset people. Get involved in fighting the Lord's battles. This is a big one. Avoid a life of regret. How many people have regret? Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that or said that. The Lord knows and will fight for you. You're not in this alone, David. You've been anointed by the Lord. You can expect the Lord to work on your behalf. Abigail was a wise woman. She used tact in talking to him. And I would just say this, too. She used religious principles in speaking to him. She talked about the Lord. And a guy by the name of McKay said this. She possessed in harmonious combination two qualities that are essential to have influence over men: the tact of a wise woman and using biblical truth. That doesn't. You might also throw in there she was a good cook. That doesn't say that. But that would be a great influence as well. Abigail was a wise woman. In Lessons for Life, how does the Bible tell us to restore people? Brethren, if any man is overcome in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit, notice this, of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We can never overestimate the effects of our words and actions upon others. We have wisdom to impart, don't we? We have help to give. We have faith that we share. We can demonstrate kindness and gracious words with self-control and humility. The Lord can use that, truly use that. David's response, I want to read how David responded. Remember that David had 400 men with him, all armed, ready for battle. They were ready to go into the fight. And now this woman, and by the way, a woman was not viewed with lots of esteem in that culture. Here she was, she had spoken to him. He was listening. They heard what he was saying. David said to Abigail, "Praise be to the Lord God," this is verse 32, "the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment, for your keeping me from bloodshed this day, and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, who has kept me from harming you, even if not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alone, alive by daybreak." Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, "Go home in peace. I've heard your words and granted your request." Abigail went to Nabal. He was in his house holding a blank banquet like a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until daybreak. Then in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things, and his heart failed him, and he became like stone. And 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Praise be to the Lord, who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He kept his servant from doing wrong, and he brought Nabal's wrong down on his own head." Then David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. His servants went to Carmel and said to Abigail, "David has sent us to you to take you to become his wife." She bowed down with her face to the ground and said, "I am your servant. I'm ready to serve you and wash the feet of my Lord's servants." Abigail quickly got on a donkey attended by her 5 female servants, went with David's messenger, became his wife. David also married Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both were his wives. But Saul had given his daughter Michal away. Well, David's response. One, he gave thanks for Abigail. You ever give thanks to the wife the Lord gives you? Lift up her before the Lord and just thank God for her. He was grateful for God who gave him wisdom through this woman. The Lord had kept him from sinning. David accepted the gifts, granted her request, sent her home in peace. David was big enough to listen to this woman. And Marilyn says, amen. That's good. That's good. And considered her logic. Then he showed her even more excellent character traits by openly admitting that he was wrong. "I'm wrong in doing this." Now, what man wants to do that? Say it before all of his men, "I'm wrong, avenging myself." But he did. Think of the impact that decision had on 400 men. His response showed that David was a strong leader, wanted to do what was right in God's eyes, was willing to yield to godly advice. He was a great man, a true man of God. When the heat of emotion is turned on, am I a listener? Do I listen? Have I been wrong? Do I listen to God and His word? I don't want my conscience to be defiled. I want to do what's right in His eyes. I'm willing to listen to godly advice. It's good to have a friend that you can talk it through with if there's a difficult thing in your life. God has a purpose for you. Amen? A bigger purpose than any minor irritation. I understand a man who walked clear across America. They said, did the rain bother you? Sometimes. Did the hail get to you? Yeah, sometimes. Did the dogs that snarled and barked at you, did that bother you? Yeah, that did. He said, what was your biggest problem? He said, it was the sand and the little rocks in my shoes. That irritation that comes, that's what really bothered him. And so we think of that verse, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Our task to guard against anything that may dim or diminish the light of God in our lives. You know, a testimony is such a fragile thing, isn't it? So hard to maintain that. And our task is to guard it. Keep the light shining. Our ultimate purpose in life is to bring glory to the Lord. As we do that, we do it both by our words and our deeds. God's unseen influence, faithfulness is how this ends. Nabal was having a feast. He was eating and he was drunk. He lacked self-discipline. He was uninformed of the danger. Nabal's fear, too late, he realized the danger and the horrid possibilities and consequences of his rash mouth. He suffered a stroke, had a heart attack, 10 days. And I wondered why the Lord gave him 10 days. Well, I think he wanted him to repent, because God is not willing that any should perish. But he didn't repent. He took him. His death was an act of God. There's a way that seems right to man, but it ends in death. It's an appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. The end for those who don't know the Lord, they will be reviewed. There's a story in the Bible about the rich man who lived pretty successfully, but he made three mistakes. His bank book was more important than his Bible. And success in life is not because of material things. His body and soul, taking care of that was more important. The soul satisfaction in the body. That's a poor investment. That will fade and go away. And he also made a mistake about time versus eternity. I'll live a long life. You know what the Lord said to him? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? Bad when we make that mistake of our bank book for our Bible, our body for our soul, mistaking time for eternity. What should it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Richard Burton used to be quite the movie person. But at the end, when he was dying, he simply said this, the party's over. The party's over. Well, for a believer, the party is about to begin. we're going to some place where it's just going to be rejoicing. I appreciated David's response. In front of all of his men, he blessed God for giving Nabal what he deserved. He blessed God for keeping him from doing wrong. He blessed God for Abigail having wisdom and bringing it into his. He decided to marry Abigail. And the Lord knows how to bring the right people into our life. So good. I think in our world as men and women, it's good to have a mentor. It's good to have a friend that we can talk things out with and listen, see their perspective on it. Abigail's response, she may have asked questions. What would her life be like if she rejected David's offer? She realized that she had no inheritance, no position, no home, no help, no hope. And what would our lives be without Christ? What would they be? No hope, no home, no help, no promise. And so she decided to marry him. And before God, anyway, we know that a lot of times our problems, as I used to tell people, it's not a problem, it's just a new opportunity for learning. They said, no, it's a big problem. I said, there's a way out of this. We can just seek help here. Unsolvable problems. Well, there are a lot of unsolvable problems that people feel they have. But one way they can deal with it is to get godly wisdom, to pray about it, to look to the Lord. You know, he is faithful, and he'll never walk away from us. And listen to godly wisdom. There's always a way. It may not be perfect, but there's a way. And God can help us deal with the things. You know, I've listened to people said, my husband is a drunk. He has one thing. How can you help me? Or he's making decisions. Our money's being spent on foolishness. What would you say? You know, all these kinds of problems that people have. So good to have God's perspective, God's provision, and God's peace in my life. Just quiet my heart and help others with it too. You must be a Christian to ensure God is listening. It says in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He can hear you. He may hear you, but he doesn't have to hear you. But as a believer, he's committed to hear you. You call upon the Lord, he will answer you and help you. How would you define leadership after you thought about Abigail and David? One word. Romance. That's good. Leadership is influence. It is influence. And, you know, if you have enough power, you can tell them do this and that. But it was through her influence. And obviously her influence because of her knowing the Lord. And, of course, there's the influence of Samuel's death on David. What a godly friend he was. The influence of Abigail on David. And you think about your own life. Who are the people that have had influence in your life that have guided you and directed you and showed you the way and demonstrated that the Lord was real? We just give God thanks for that. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Never underestimate your influence. And people of influence often are, and I have 31 here, dear. They're disciplers, they're spiritual guides, they're coaches, they're counselors, they're teachers, they're models. I'd been in college for about a couple months, and I was really homesick. And I wish that I'd kept this letter, but we didn't have emails or anything. I wrote to my mom, and I said, Mom, college is not for me. I'm coming home and going to get a job. And she always wrote these lovely little notes to me. Every day she wrote me a note. Didn't always get them every day, but wrote every day. And she wrote back and she said, Bill, you've been taught to finish what you start. And continue to do the work that's in that place. Do it well. And know this, the door is locked. You're not coming home. That's a woman of influence. So I just quit whining and crying and got after it. Finish what you've started, she said. Focusing on others, how much help has been given to people over a meal? Just the godly influence of Christians, showing hospitality. A little poem says, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my model be. Help me to live for others so that I would live for thee. Here are three A's. Love alliteration. A lot of things we just give attention to. Show affection and demonstrate affirmation. You know, the Lord has a plan for everybody. And a healthy dose of all three of those will bring encouragement, correct? Will bring encouragement in people's lives. Let's consider how to... I've had some people that love to provoke one another, but wasn't to good works. Let's consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Isn't that a great verse? That is a wonderful verse. Live that out. How blessed is a home where encouragement is given and where criticism is swallowed and we work on speaking with affirmation, speak with encouragement. It really comes from our reverence for the Lord. What a wonderful thing that is to be gracious and good as we think about Him. That from a childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. And so we're thankful that as we read His Word, as we connect with His people, we often get encouragement. You go away and it's like Philemon. You refresh my heart, sister. You refresh my heart, brother. I'm stronger. I'm ready to get on with the Lord. Well, how will you be remembered? That's a good question. We all want a wonderful legacy, and we'd like to be a difference maker. And, you know, I've had, and I'm not touting myself, but just I've had people say, you remember when you shared that verse with me? Sometimes I forget even my telephone number. No, I don't remember when I shared. You know, that verse that you shared with me meant so much to me. And I wrote it down, and I carried it with me for a month. And maybe it might have been Psalms 27. I would have despaired if I hadn't believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, the Lord will come through for you as He has come through for me. How will you be remembered? What we need are more difference makers. And know this, as a believer, there's light within you. And if you walk in the light of God's truth, you will be an influence. And leadership is influence. You have influence. You don't have to be the boss of the program. It's just your words, your walk, your work brings influence into the lives of others. That's what Abigail did. And she turned a man around and kept him from gross sin. Praise God for that. So you've got it now. Let's thank the Lord for it and read this verse. He is able, isn't he? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, unto him be the glory. He's able to do it. Take our little and multiply all for his glory. May it be. Well, let's pray. Father, we are so thankful today that you would be pleased to use these jars of clay for your glory, for your honor. We thank you, Lord, that we can have your mind, the mind of Christ, and we can have your word dwelling in our hearts, and we can bring blessing into the lives of others and help them in their journey. We know, Lord, that if we only knew, many journeys are very, very difficult, very painful. And the evil one would feel like they feel like they're being crushed and hemmed in. We're thankful, Lord, that you have set a path before us. And even though it's difficult, we'll cling to your word and we'll cling to your promises and we'll walk in your way. Help us, Lord, to be a people of influence, light in this dark, dark world, for your name's sake, that your name and your person would be glorified in our lives and the lives of others. Commit our day to you. Thank you for the camp. Thank you for the work that you're doing here. Bless the workers, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.